and stumble to the kitchen, pour myself a cup of ambition, and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets, the traffic starts jumping with folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5. What a way to make a living. Barely getting by. It's all taking and no giving. They just use your mind and they never give you credit. It's enough to drive you crazy if you let it.
Good morning.
We have two reasons to play that song.
Absolutely. Meg. Okay.
Two reasons. One, some people had off yesterday.
Correct. Today's rude reality.
So here we go, 9 to 5, and here we go to work. And the second reason is we're going to talk very briefly, because we've already talked some, about roses.
Ah.
And one of the best roses ever is the Dolly Parton.
All right. It's our homage to Dolly. This is Pep Talk. If you just tuned in and you're thinking, what have I tuned into?
Exactly.
It's the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Mike Wiggins is here, and every Tuesday at this time from, well, not 9 to 5, but 9 to 10.
9 to 10,
we
exactly.
talk about gardening, and this is The Garden Line.
Very good. Very good. Man, I got to tell you, we always like to talk about weather because it affects everything as far as gardening is concerned.
Correct.
It can be the seasons or it can be 1 week. Well, we'll talk 1 week today.
I'm telling you.
Have you seen what the temperature is going to be at the end of the week?
No.
80. We hit 80.
Wow. But I just
going to be a little rain, maybe a little rain, but it's going to be 80.
But did I not? This morning I didn't even look at it because I didn't want to.
Right.
But I think that says next week we're getting a cold snap. Is that right?
I haven't seen that one.
Okay.
I didn't go any further than Friday.
Okay.
Well, I saw the 80. I said, good.
Well, this, I don't know what to wear. This morning was 50-something, and I didn't dress warm enough, but I know it's going to be 70-something later. It's just, it's annoying now. Just annoying. Come on, Florida, make up your mind.
I hear you. But if so many of the folks, of course, who are gardeners are working their yard and like to plant annuals and perennials and do landscaping, that type of thing. The weather means everything. And you jump into the 80s, it kind of gets your blood going. You kind of say, okay, now I can plant me some tomato plants.
Mm-hmm.
I can put in some petunias
let's
and marigolds. Let's go. Let's don't go.
Let's go. Oops, just kidding.
Let's don't go. Because here we are. We're just, Wednesday begins Lent, does it not?
Tomorrow. Yes, that's what today is. Today is Mardi Gras Fat Tuesday.
That's right.
So you're supposed to set your hair down and let everything go because you're going to have to sacrifice for the next.
That's exactly right.
Until Easter.
And so we're dealing with about 40 days until we hit Easter.
Correct.
And the reason I say that is invariably, every year, and I think I'm about right on this, we have this cold snap.
Just one more.
The week before Easter.
You're right.
Now, I'm not talking about 15 degrees here, but I'm talking about we have eased into spring and then we ease back out of spring for a couple of days. So
let's be clear, the definition of a cold snap here is anything under 50, okay?
That's exactly right.
So
in any event, we can't rush things.
Right.
That's the whole point here. A lot of people, including myself, want to. I've got so many empty pots in my backyard.
Me too.
That I want to put in my hibiscus and mandevilla and crotons and areca palms and some of those things, but just hold off.
Well, you'd be proud of me because I got up this morning. My anthurium is still blooming.
You're the only human in Pensacola that can grow an anthurium.
Now, all the other plants in my house are not doing so well, but that one
has always amazed me how you do
it. It's beautiful. I haven't done a thing. I think that's the key.
Do nothing.
Don't do anything.
Absolutely. But here's what we probably need to talk about today. What let's do first.
Okay.
I do want to, if we have time, and if we don't do it this week, we do it next week, a few words about roses, maybe a few different words about roses.
I'd love to start.
To continue our discussion of what trees we can plant and the advantages and disadvantages of each.
Excellent.
I thought we'd start off with a lightning round of things to do now.
Great.
Things to do now. We've talked about most of them in detail. I'm just going to give it a lightning round shot. And then if that provokes some text, somebody has some questions.
And you can always text in with your comments or questions at 850-437-1620.
Right. And here's one of the most important ones. This time of year, with the weather just getting ready to go, is planning. Is planning. Plan what annuals you want to plant.
Mm-hmm.
You can do a lot of Googling on that and research it and all that. You may want to plant something new, maybe some perennials. You may want to buy some seeds and plant something that you really can't find in your garden centers, but something a little unusual. You may want to replan your landscaping beds in the front of your house. And, of course, I always like to recommend, and we've talked about this before, get your garden hose and take it out and lay it out in the way you want to design your bed. So you can make a curve here. And
oh, that's a great idea.
Anyway, you can design it with your garden hose. Then you can move it. And then, of course, you can dig out the weeds and any grass you need to remove. But have a plan.
Mm-hmm.
That's the important thing. I always say, go to your child's backpack and get a piece of graph paper.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you and I have said, I'm not sure if they have graph paper anymore. But anyway, point is, you know, draw it to scale, mm-hmm. what you want to do. And that way you can fill it in. You may not want to do it all at once because nowadays it's not cheap.
Right.
And you may want to do it in phases, but at least you'll know what your bed is going to look like. So planning is very, very important. Prepare beds. For example, you know all the winter, all the annuals and even the winter annuals have just about had it. So you've got some flower beds that need help. Clean them out. Get those weeds out of there. Get them down to bare dirt. And get your Canadian sphagnum peat moss, work it in, rake it out so you've got this nice, clean bed. When you're ready, in probably a month and a half, to start planting some of your annuals.
Mm-hmm.
Everything, that, if you have sun, the sun patience. If you have shade, put your traditional impatiens, marigolds, you name it. We have a whole list of them here that you can plant. But anyway, so do that. Prepare the beds. Sharpen your lawnmower blade. We talked about that. Rake the yard. Get the leaves off of that. Work on your sprinkler system. I got to tell you, personal story. I turned on my sprinkler system for the first time the other day. And it totally worked.
No.
I said, break out the champagne.
Yeah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Did a happy dance on your lawn, did absolutely. You?
It worked. Because I had the phone number for my guy to help me fix it when it didn't work or some of the pipes had frozen.
Mm-hmm.
But it worked.
Well, good for you. Yeah. No.
Not good for me. It was blind luck.
Yeah. Okay.
It had nothing to do with me. Pruning roses.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is timely because you know our date on that. We just passed it.
Yeah, because it was February 15th, right?
Valentine's Day.
Yes.
Exactly. So just in case you missed it.
It's still a grace period. It's only the 17th.
Yeah, a grace period. Yes. I like that. Absolutely. You have a grace period to get to and prune your roses. Plant deciduous trees. We started that discussion last week,
mm-hmm.
and I've got about 10 of them here that we can talk about as we get into the show. Ryegrass. You would say it's too late for ryegrass. And if you want to put it in your yard just to make your yard green, I don't think I would do it because really you are going to have some warmer weather soon enough and mm-hmm. it's going to go away. But if you've got with some of this rain, we have some spots that have erosion in your yard, say on a slope, a little ryegrass might hold that slope until you can get out there and sod it or put some ground covers in there or what you want to do when spring gets here. But the ryegrass would be a great choice to do that. I wouldn't fool with it if I just wanted to have a green lawn
mm-hmm.
because it's going to burn up when it gets hot.
Right.
So you'd have a limited period to enjoy it.
Okay, that makes sense. We've got lots of tips for you as we're getting ready for gardening season. All you have to do is listen in on Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. We're going to take a quick break right now, but during the break, if you think of a question, 850-437-1620, Mike Wiggins is here with the Garden Line. This is the Garden Line on Pep Talk with Mike Wiggins here to answer your questions and give you some pointers on how we can get ready for gardening season. We've already got a text in from Ann. She's one of our regular listeners. Good morning, Ann. And very sweet, says she loves the show. We always appreciate hearing that. And she's asking you, Mike, the green leaves are beginning to bud out on my blue, big capital letters, hydrangea stalks. I have aluminum sulfate. Am I saying this right? Espona or Espana? Espona?
Okay.
Espona soil acidifier and Espona holly tone. When should I apply them? Thank you, Ann.
You know what I would do, obviously with some of this little warmer weather we're having, you may get new growth on the hydrangea, and that's fine. I don't think I'd use anything on it
Oh.
until we get Oh, let's say into late March.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, because what you don't want to do, in my opinion, if you have that 80 degrees coming up,
mm-hmm.
and you put fertilizer, if you will, or soil amendments in there now, you could easily hype that plant a little bit. And then if we have a real Easter cold, it could knock it back. I think I would leave it alone. Now, what she's talking about a lot is putting acidifiers
mm-hmm.
on, because hydrangeas like acidic soil. And all the ones she mentioned are fine. I think they'll do fine. Another one that I would consider is a good quality azalea, camellia, gardenia fertilizer, granular, because that will help the acidifying factor, but also give it some nitrogen, phosphate, and potash also, which would be a good all-around fertilizer for that hydrangea. So sounds like she's on the right track. She knows you've got to have it acidic.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if it's in the yard, as you know, we have acidic soil already.
Right.
That's, I always say, that's one reason you have Bellingraph Gardens in Mobile is with azaleas and camellias. And so that's because the soil is acidic, and those plants like an acid soil. It's like centipede grass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, centipede grass likes an acid soil. St. Augustine does not.
Okay.
So in any event, she's on the right track. What she has, she can use. I wouldn't discard it, obviously. But down the line, I like using that azalea, camellia, gardenia fertilizer. That generally will help with a, promote the acidic situation.
Okay, great question, Ann. I hope that helps. We got another text in on the Garden Line text line, and all you have to do is text it in at 850-437-1620. We got another one. With floral tree gardens closed, where can I go walk in and actually talk to someone about yard maintenance and purchasing chemicals?
Pensacola Seed and Garden is a really good one. Larry out there owns it, but he's got some folks there that really know what they're doing. And they've got a nice display of the different chemicals, all of which, from my observation, would work here in Pensacola.
Mm-hmm.
Werner Turf has a pretty good selection.
That's a W-O-E-R, right? M-E-R, is that how they spell it? Warner? A little different?
I went to Florida State, man. You know, spelling, you know, spelling is not.
No comment. I'm going to be nice this morning.
I know. If I'd gone to Georgia, I could, like you, I probably could have spelled. No, I think you're right.
Okay.
It's over on Creighton Road.
Yeah, I pass it all the time this way.
Spell Creighton Road. No.
Oh, okay. We digress.
We're not going there. But yeah, Pensacola Seed and Garden is a real good one. It really is, insofar as chemicals are concerned, and how to use them.
Mm-hmm.
That's important. Larry owns it. Larry, if he's there, he has a couple of locations. But if he's there, try to track him down, and he can certainly tell you. Larry does a lot of Blab TV shows.
Oh, okay.
For promoting his business, and talks about this a lot on the air. So that's where I would go, exactly.
Okay, great. And also, you mentioned many times the UWF, the Extension Service.
That's no question.
Because you mentioned that they answer questions as well.
They have the Master Gardener program there.
Right.
And many times the Master Gardeners are there. Are there kind of a question and answer
mm-hmm.
Series going on? So in any event, yes, that's a great call. Beth Bowles is the county agent who is so good, but has a lot of folks there that also know what they're doing. So that's a good question. Good idea.
Okay. Thank you so much for texting that in. 850-437-1620. Plenty of time for your questions.
Absolutely.
Okay. We're getting ready. What else have you got on your list?
Let's go to the roses real
okay,
quick.
Okay, yeah.
Let's go to the roses. We talked last week about the most popular roses, or rose, is the tea rose.
Mm.
That's the long stem rose that most people like and really enjoy. I recommended last year, and I'll repeat myself, if you've never grown roses before, just only buy a few of them to see if you like it. Because roses, in general, are, if you want to classify them, they're high maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
They take monthly fertilization. They get fungus, black spot, powdery mildew. They'll get aphids. And so if you plant them in the full sun, if you plant them, put them in the shade, it's certainly not going to work. But they take some work. Some people love them. The Rose Society here in Pensacola, if I'm not mistaken, is still very active. And it's kind of like our Camellia Club that we mm-hmm. talked about with Skip. I think the Rose Society would be right there to answer your questions for you if you had specific rose questions. But the hybrid tea is the best. Now, here we go. Why did we play
Dolly Parton?
Many of the hybridees have names of famous people. Okay, I just wrote down a few.
Because
these are... the reason I'm calling out these names, if you can find some of these names, you have got a tried and true rose, like Tropicana, Mr. Lincoln. Those are really good roses. And if you're a novice planting roses for the first time, get some that you know will work in our area. Here we go. You ready?
Yes.
The John F. Kennedy.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. It's a white one. It's really, really nice. I mentioned Mr. Lincoln. It's a red one. Cary Grant. Now, that goes back a long way.
Oh, I need to find that one.
Yeah, you need to find that one. I'm sure our young listeners on their way to school this morning
who
listen to us all the time say, what?
Who?
All right. And, of course, while we play the music, Dolly Parton.
Yes.
That's a great
What color are those? Do you know?
I don't know that one. I'm not sure what color it is. I'm not. But I will jump to the next one. This goes way back, but I bet you know it. Kate Smith.
Oh, my goodness. God bless America.
Oh, yeah. How about Arlene Francis?
Oh, well, that now we're getting past my realm, okay. But I know she used to be on, what was that show, What's My Line?
Yes.
Remember?
Oh, look at that.
I know. Where did that come from?
Ronald Reagan.
Yep. Okay. Exactly. I know who that is. Yeah.
Exactly. And finally, Pope John Paul II.
Oh.
I think that's a white one, but I'm not totally sure.
Interesting.
But these are some of the roses that would do well here. And it's kind of fun to plant one that has a famous name to it. The other rose I want to talk about are Floribundas. And when we get back from the break, we'll chat about that.
All right. This is The Garden Line on Pep Talk. We'll be right back. This is The Garden Line on Pep Talk with Mike Wiggins. Mike, we got a text that came in. Let's see. First of all, from our friend with Paul with Blue Sky Landscaping, we were talking about roses. And he said, fun fact, rose is actually an herb, and the flowers and hips are edible.
Yes.
Very interesting.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And
you know, Paul is a wealth of knowledge.
He is. He has so many good tips
And while we have Paul listening to us, I know one rose I was going to mention that I've heard Paul brag about is the drift rose, which is, I guess, Paul, correct me here, but it's relatively new. And when I say that, probably 10 years or so, maybe more. But it's a low-growing, almost a ground cover rose. Small blossoms on it.
I've seen it. Very pretty
and does very well here.
It almost doesn't look like a rose because it's so low, right?
Exactly, right. Now, one other rose on the Floribunda is one I wanted to mention that, and there's another one called Grandiflora. Mm-hmm. Grandiflora is a taller growing rose. It'll get up about 5 or 6 feet. All the literature says most of the rose growers, even if they're a hobbyist or just a homeowner, don't plant many grandifloras. They plant the Floribundas, which is a lower growing rose that just has covered with stunning blooms on it.
Wow.
It really
okay.
is. It's really. So that's one. Remember, if we're only going to buy a few roses, you're going to buy a hybrid tea with a famous name.
Right.
And now you're going to buy a Floribunda.
Okay.
And see how that does for you.
I think I'm going to try it. What's the one I should try?
Okay. You want to know which one?
For a novice, beginner.
You want to name a Floribunda?
Uh-huh.
How about Iceberg?
So I find an Iceberg rose.
How about Anne Harkness? Who was Anne Harkness?
Yeah, I don't know
that. I have
no
idea.
I don't know. Interesting.
Kind of like Arlene Francis.
That one I knew. I don't know why, but somehow I knew that one. Yeah, we looked that up in that show, What's My Line,
okay,
started in 1950.
Exactly.
27 seasons. That's wild.
If any of our listeners know who the moderator was for What's My Line, let us know. That was, we were fighting that battle during the break. Okay, Hot Cocoa. They have chocolate orange covered petals, Tuscan sun, and honey bouquet. That's what to look for when you plant your Floribunda rose.
All right, sounds great. This is The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins on Pep Talk. We're going to be back for a whole another half hour, so get those texts and questions in. So we're talking about spring and getting ready and what you should buy and what you should plant and how you should fertilize, all those things. So text in at 850-437-1620. We'd love to hear from you. Mike Wiggins with The Garden Line on Pep Talk. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg, and it is The Garden Line. This next half hour, we'll be talking about gardening, getting ready for spring with our gardening expert, because Hey, it is the expert panel, Mike Wiggins. Mike, we got a bunch of texts that have come in over the break. So we want to get to them?
Good, let's do
it. Let's see, we can start off with, Well, we were talking about roses and that you could eat parts of the rose, which I did not know. So someone of our listeners texted in, yes, my great-grandmother used to make rosebud jelly. So good.
You know what?
I've never had rosebud jelly. Have you?
I have not, but that generation, they knew how to garden. I'll tell you right now.
Oh, yeah.
They knew what to do.
Okay.
That's a great text.
So thank you for sending that. That's
pretty
neat.
That is so cool.
Okay, this is a question for you, a little different topic. Which is better for a lawn, lawn spray companies that walk and spray or ones that use big riding machines?
I think we're talking about, and help me here with the person who texts. You may want to clear this up. Two different things. One is the lawn services that spray fertilizer, insect control, that type of thing. That was my business.
Right.
I had a business that did that. And, of course, we always used to say, use a lawn spray service. The main reason that you would hire somebody to spray your yard is you don't have to do it.
Right.
You know, but the lawn spray services, the good ones. I'm going to use Lawn Master as an example. They're really good. They do it in a timely manner when the seasons are right, when it's time to fertilize, when it's time to go for insects, when it's time to spray for weeds. And when you see them out in the neighborhoods right now, I will wager they're out spraying pre-emergence weed control.
Right.
But they generally will be there, and most of those spray services, we used to do this, will guarantee their service. You can't guarantee a perfect lawn. It's Pensacola. You're not in charge of watering it, not in charge of the rain, that type of thing. But they guarantee it insofar as if you have a problem, say you've got a fungus spot coming up, you call them, they'll come out, you generally at no charge, and treat that. So there are advantages to having a service that does lawn spray. And sometimes spray is a little bit of a misnomer in that a lot of companies, and we used to do that, had a customer that said, we would prefer granular over the liquid.
Interesting.
And we would do that. We would do that because a lot of people would rather have that. So that's the advantages of a lawn service. Now, insofar as the big machine, I'm assuming the person that texts is talking about the mower, people who mow with the big machines. And that's okay. That's okay. The secret is, well, there's no secret. That's crazy to say that. What you need to do is whoever is mowing your yard, it's got to be high. I've seen some services, just as I drive through the neighborhood, who are mowing it too low.
Oh.
And that, of course, is not good for any lawn. We all have the St. Augustine at 4 inches, Centipede at 3, Zoysia at about 2. But if he's on the big machine, they can set their height on those machines, which is fine. The big machines are probably handy, especially when you have a large yard.
Right.
Just be sure that the person's doing it, you mentioned to them, they probably already know it, that you really need it high at the level that we just mentioned.
Okay.
But there's nothing wrong with that.
Okay. Yeah. Great questions coming in, so thank you for sending that in. Another listener sends in, this is from Paul with Blue Sky Landscaping. We were talking about roses.
Paul, why don't you get in your car and drive over here.
I know, he's just coming to the studio to
see what's going on here.
The drift rose is a cousin to the knockout rose and good for our area. And then he says, I love, love, love the drift rose. And then the next text that came in from Mike, and he said, thanks. He said, I found a Tropicana rose at Tractor Supply after last week's show.
Good.
So that's pretty cool.
That is good. Tractor Supply.
Yeah.
Interesting that they would have a selling in roses. Good for them.
Yeah. Okay. Them. And then we've got another text coming in here. This is, I think this is from Peggy, I believe. She says, We have a wall of Peggy. She's talking about Peggy Martin roses. Sorry. We have a wall of Peggy Martin roses doing well, but have black spots from winter. What do we do? That's from Steve. I'm sorry, Steve. On
yeah. Well, if you have a black spot on a rose, and it is about as big as maybe a little smaller than a dime, but sometimes that big, that's a disease, and that's one of the reasons that you have to treat your roses. That and the powdery mildew are the two bad guys when it comes to roses. And the powdery mildew, it just looks like somebody put baby powder on the rose leaves. You need to spray it. And most rose sprays will tell you that it's good for black spot and powdery mildew. There's also, you can buy rose dust, which is comes in a shaker can, and it's kind of like baby powder itself. And you can put that on the rose leaves, which will help with this fungus. Obviously, once you put a fungicide on your rose, you don't want to water those leaves for at least 48 hours.
See, I'm glad you said that, because my instinct would be put some water on it right after.
No, if it's going to rain, just don't do it.
Don't do it. Okay.
And really, if you're watering your rose, it's best to water them at the bottom, because if you water the leaves, sometimes that'll promote fungus.
Really?
And if you have a sprinkler system in your shrub bed, and it's putting water on the rose leaves every time you run your system, you really need to watch out for that fungus, that black spot, and that powdery mildew, because it'll come up quicker if you keep those rose leaves wet.
So I have to pick my chin up off the floor, because all those years that I was watering the lawn that had rose bushes, I was taking the hose and watering from the top down. And so I probably was promoting fungus.
Yes, you were. Now that you mention it,
See, these are the things that no one tells you. So I thought I was, it's hot. I'm going to refresh my roses, and there I was.
Now, don't get me wrong. If we're in a drought situation, you go out there and you can water the whole thing.
Right.
But as a rule,
interesting,
it's better to water it from the bottom.
Okay. All right. See, I learn every time you're on, I learn something.
I hear you.
You are the best. No, Mike Wiggins, our definite expert on gardening and flowers. And if you've got a question, all you got to do is text it in, 850-437-1620. I know if he doesn't have the answer, we will consult our research department.
They are so good. They never did come back with who was...
We didn't.
Who
we
was the moderator.
Who was the host of What's My
the
Line.
The host of What's My
Line.
One
because of our listeners knows.
Because of the rose.
Yeah, we were Arlene talking Francis. About the Arlene
yeah,
Francis
one,
rose.
Yeah, one of our listeners will know that.
You got to.
Text us that, will you?
Okay.
Because it's going to drive me crazy.
All right, so we've been talking about... You had started to mention about trees. You were going to talk about some trees,
I was. Let's talk about trees, but let's talk about tree roses.
Oh,
Before we leave the rose subject.
Okay.
Tree roses are so beautiful. And a tree rose, obviously, is a rose that's on a long stalk, and it's got the big rose bush on the top.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really interesting how that it's a two-way graft. The rose, you take the rose, I would call it a stick, but it's a trunk, if you will, and that's grafted to the root system. The top, where the rose plant is grafted to the top. So it's really kind of two grafts in there.
Interesting.
But you see rose trees and you see hibiscus trees a lot. You'll see hibiscus that are on the long stalk.
I'm thinking of a house right now that I've seen. I'm pretty sure that's a rose tree from the way you've described it.
Yeah, yeah. They're just really beautiful.
Really pretty.
And some of the literature will tell you that, and I've never seen this, that some of the rose growers will graft different colored roses on that top.
Oh.
So that whole canopy up there, if you will, is a multicolored because of different roses.
It'll look like a bouquet.
There you go.
Oh, how beautiful.
You always have a way with words.
How beautiful.
Oh, it would be beautiful.
That would be neat.
I've never seen it, but that sounds interesting.
That's a challenge.
That is a challenge. And, before we leave the roses.
Yes, sir.
Before we leave the roses, we've got to talk about the rose that has taken over the industry that, quite frankly, has driven a lot of the rose growers, how can I word this, into some business distress. Because so many rose growers have grown these tea roses and floribundas and miniature roses and all those roses. They've grown over the years. And we always look forward to the paper catalog that came in. Or even the internet has so much of that. But the knockout rose has almost taken over the industry since the year about 2000.
Wow.
A guy named Mr. Ratner up north developed the knockout. And I want to say one word about that when we come back.
All right, we'll be back in just a minute. This is the Garden Line on Pep Talk. Don't go away. Good morning. This is the Garden Line on Pep Talk with our host, Mike Wiggins. So, Mike, we've been talking about roses all morning, and you were going to tell us about the roses.
Real quick on knockout roses.
Yeah.
Pruning knockout roses. Some of the literature will tell you you don't want to prune knockout roses maybe until their second year.
Mm-hmm.
But then they will almost take care of themselves. you could in the spring, say, cut them back a third, just keep them under control.
Mm-hmm.
But that they're not really that important to do that because they're going to bloom all season long. They'll bloom and then they'll stop a little bit and then they'll bloom again. But they are beautiful and they are easy.
So is that a good rose for a beginner like me?
No question about it. Matter of fact, I have one that I bought. I put it in a huge pot over in a flower bed, and it has just flourished.
Okay.
It really has, and I don't do too much to it. The reason I want to mention it is they're red.
Mm-hmm.
My are red, but these are some of their family members. You ready?
Okay.
Double knockout rose.
Ooh.
That's the bloom. It's a double bloom.
Uh-huh.
A pink knockout rose. A pink double knockout rose.
Wow.
A rainbow knockout rose. I don't know what that is.
But it sounds pretty.
It sounds pretty. Blushing knockout rose and sunny knockout rose. I've never seen many of those, but that's what they say is available.
I like the sound of the blushing knockout rose.
That's
so sweet. It doesn't quite want to be blooming.
I've never described a rose as being sweet, but that's
blushing.
That's cool.
Blushing.
That's,
you know?
Cool. Okay. That's cool.
If you've got a question this morning, 850-437-1620. There's still plenty of time on the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins.
Exactly. Let's go. Let's jump ahead.
Okay.
And talk about a few more of these deciduous trees. We started that discussion last week. I had about 10 of them here. And we only got to the first one.
Because we had so many texts last week.
Well, no, thank goodness for the texts. This can wait. But dogwoods is what we talked about.
Yes.
And the dogwoods are doing well. And if you wanted a pink one, remember the name of the pink, kind of red, the red one? The Welch's Junior Miss.
That's right. Welch's Junior.
Okay, so we talked about that last week. Let's jump to another one. How about a red bud? Mm. A red bud is what I classify as sort of an understory tree. Underneath the pine trees are, I'm sorry, Meg, I was drawing.
He was gesturing.
I was gesturing the tree. Okay, let me get to talk to this microphone.
There you go.
Yeah, okay, here we go.
Okay.
All right, anyway, it's an understory tree, but it is almost a harbinger of spring.
Mm-hmm.
It'll bloom early in the spring, and it really is a pretty tree. And it's just, obviously, it has green leaves after it blooms. And then it blooms every spring.
And it's a dogwood?
No. This is a redbud.
A redbud.
This
okay.
is a redbud. It's totally different.
Totally different.
It's a
redbud.
Okay, let's go to the next one. This is one of my favorites.
Nope. Okay.
No, this is good. This is good.
Okay, hang on just a second.
Okay, got it.
All right.
Okay, here we go. This is river birch.
Okay.
River birch is a tall growing tree. A lot of people like river birch, but at multi-trunk.
Mm-hmm.
And it has beautiful bark, that peely bark. My phone's ringing. Let me turn this thing off.
Okay.
Peely bark.
Mm-hmm.
Red peely bark. Kind of like.
I've kind of seen that, I think.
You know, like the Native Americans, had the white birch.
Mm-hmm.
This is a river birch, which has the red peely bark. Kind of a delicate leaf, as opposed to, say, a sycamore or one of those leaves. And it's really very, very pretty. Only disadvantage to a river birch, in my opinion, is it will get aphids. So you have to spray it. But they get so tall, you really can't spray them. But generally, sometimes they'll get over that. But it's still a very, very nice tree for Pensacola because with that beautiful bark, it looks good even in the winter when it doesn't have any leaves.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That's one way to look at that. That's a good one.
And it's a red bud.
No.
No. We've moved on to
Okay, we're going
to
go. Number one was red dogwood. Number two was
red bud.
Okay. Number three, river birch.
River birch. Okay, got it. I'm just helping all the listeners out.
Oh, I know. No, this is complicated stuff.
Okay.
It is. Okay. You ready for the Japanese magnolia?
Okay.
Magnolia saliangiana.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. It's great. Some people call it a saucer magnolia. But now you talk about a harbinger of spring. This one, the Japanese magnolias come out, which is some of them may be out already. I'm sure they are. They're just gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. And then it has nice leaves, and it's a nice low-growing tree, not a tall tree. There's one my neighbor has that's, maybe 8 to 10 feet high.
So wow.
It's very mature.
Okay.
But, boy, it puts on those beautiful, beautiful blossoms in the in the early, early spring. So that's another one to consider. And this one, the one next door to me, is I would classify it as a understory tree because it's planted right underneath a red maple, which is a huge shade tree. So that's a tulip poplar. I'm not a tulip poplar, but a Japanese magnolia.
Okay.
Japanese magnolia. Okay. Well, I was talking about the tree it's underneath, the red maple. Red maple, of course, is beautiful. This time of year, it's just gorgeous. It has nice fall color to it. And do you know how to tell a red maple from a silver maple?
No, sir.
Okay, here you go. I just learned this. So
okay.
A red maple, if you look, you take a leaf off of it, it has a red stem.
Okay.
Silver maple has a green stem.
Huh.
They look very similar as shade trees, but that's the difference in the two. Most of the maples we plant here are red maples.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's cool.
Okay. Talking with Mike Wiggins, our expert about gardening on the Garden Line. We'll be back right after the break on Pep Talk. Welcome back to the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins on Pep Talk. Good morning to you. Covered a lot of topics this morning. We've talked about roses and trees and everything. And somebody sent in, and I'm sorry I don't have your name, but someone sent in a gorgeous picture of the knockout rainbow rose.
Let me tell you, that is
oh my goodness.
Gorgeous. I have never seen one.
Me either.
But they are, that is beautiful. Kind of a
pink.
Kind of a pink bloom with a yellow center.
Mm-hmm.
And just gorgeous.
Really pretty.
Thanks for sending
yes,
that to
us. Yes. I'm sorry I don't have your name, but it was really pretty. So I appreciate you sending that in.
Absolutely. That's great. Okay. We need to wrap up one or two more trees real quick. Let's talk about the sycamore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like sycamores. It's a great shade tree. I mean, it's huge. It's one of the biggest trees we have. But it's got these dinner plate leaves. They're as big as a dinner plate, and they drop off, and it's hard to maintain. You got to rake them all up, especially in the fall. And it's just, if you're looking for a fast-growing tree, tall-growing trees, sycamore may be for you. If I had my choice between a sycamore and a red maple, both of which are going to be tall shade trees, I'd go with the red maple. I think that's your better choice.
We were just talking about the maples, the red and silver, and Kim just texted in, the backs of the silver maple leaf look silvery when blown by the wind, or that's when it's easy to notice.
Very good.
Interesting, very good. Yes.
You know what? Between the rainbow knockout and the text we just got, the people who listen to our show are so smart
and
know what they're doing. I can't express how much we appreciate these this information, because Meg and I are learning as we go here, too.
No doubt. Okay, and then we just got a text in. The host for What's My Line was John Daly.
John,
there you go.
I thought John Daly was a golfer.
Or a comedian out there. Well, you're an expert on gardening, okay? Let's keep it simple.
That's exactly right. You know what we ought to do next week, Meg? Why don't we think about next week, start talking about spring.
Okay.
And things that we need to kind of get thinking about again, things we need to do in the spring. Some of those things we may not want to do right immediately.
Right.
But we really do need to kind of get ready. So let's have a little springtime talk next
Perfect.
Week. And also, I've got a few more trees to talk about. So
okay.
We can fill up the show next week.
You got it. So get those questions ready for next week. You can always re-listen to this on Saturday mornings, or you can go to our website at 923.com and click on the Garden Line and rehear the broadcast. Every broadcast is still there after all these years. Thank you so much, Mike. Great show. This is Pep Talk.